Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Something very interesting taking place here. I can't give away any secrets, but somebody on The Fan is being profiled for a story. I think it's going to be a very complimentary story, and I think we're going to find out in about a week.
Is it very complimentary?
That's actually a good question.
I think
if people told the truth, it might not be. No, it's going to be a good one, I think. Sports Talk on The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Thanks for reminding me of this limit. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And I certainly hope for your sake you had Paramount Plus yesterday because, oh my, what a day in the NFL. It feels like every week, but yesterday saw one of the most remarkable NFL games of all time. We'll get to that in a bit. In the meantime, I'm going to go in order. Just give me a thought off the top of your head limits. It could be anything. It really could be anything. The story of this game or one little piece of this game. Anything that you like. Are you ready, limits?
I'm ready.
I like the music. I like when you do that. Gets me fired up. Rams 35, Jags 7. Oh, boy. The Rams are pretty good, but the story here, the thought I have, is poor little Trevor Lawrence. Or is it poor little Trevor Lawrence? Is he just not very good? I mentioned all those quarterbacks before. He has 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and a passer rating of 80 this year. And it seems to me the Jags got exposed in this game. They got off to an okay start this year. They're frauds, and he's a disappointment. You?
Yeah, the Jags are like the mirage in the middle of the desert where you think there's some water there, but instead it's actually London when you go across the pond, and I didn't see anything good from Jacksonville. This was even with Puka Nacua out for the Rams.
So we both had the same thought, basically, limits on this game. The poor little Jags.
Matthew Stafford's still good.
By the way, I think the two best teams, AFC, NFC, to this point in the season that I have seen, are the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC and the Rams in the NFC. Would you disagree with that? Who are you, the two best teams that you, limits, have seen? I'm not saying who's going to be best in January.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with the Colts right now, man.
Of course
it is.
They have
been so good.
Their schedule was a question until yesterday. They went and pounded the Chargers.
Right, but isn't that what you're supposed to do against those opponents?
Well, yeah, but we didn't know how good they were. I'm saying yesterday I got more of an idea of that.
Right. I would agree with your assessment of that, yeah.
The Rams are frightening when Matthew Stafford is playing like this. All right, next game. The Bears, 26, and the Saints, 14. I said that the Bears would win by double digits, and they have become an interesting story. And that is the story. Ben Johnson, I think he's a really good coach. Caleb Williams looks pretty good to me. And DeAndre Swift, just under the radar, is one of the better running backs in the league. I'm a fan of this. I think it's a better league when the Bears are good, the NFL.
This game made me think that that game in Chicago that the Steelers will play at Soldier Field is going to be ever bit more critical, because that was the problem with Caleb Williams. They couldn't figure out early on in the year and in the preseason how to make it work.
Yeah.
And now they're starting to click. And I know it was the Saints, but it's looking like a much better and more efficient and fluid offense.
All right. Browns 31, Dolphins 6. Oh, my God. That has to be the... Oh, did I send you the Mike McDaniel clips from this week, Limits? Maybe play one to accompany this?
I would love that.
Here's Mike McDaniel after the game, really laying it out clearly.
Here is Mike McDaniel first talking about his players.
There's a lot of guys that will have an important work week because we're not... I mean, if you are negatively affecting the football team routinely, I don't have a choice but to... assess a different player, and I have to coach a lot better as well. So we're going to find out who and what we're made of.
Thanks, Mike.
What?
You wouldn't have been talking about Tua, would you have? That is it. That is a flaming disaster.
Ooh.
In Miami. You have the head coach ripping the quarterback, and then Tua basically did the same thing in his news conference, ripped the coach.
There was more for Mike.
We're extremely preventable from Tua, and he knows that it just wasn't good enough. So we'll watch the tape and change our style of play if we have to. We'll do everything's on the table. When you go to a game, you fully know that you have the capability to win and get. Handed a very, very humbling loss.
Wow. That man is an NFL coach. There's hope for all of us. And in honor of that, as a way of celebrating the great Mike McDaniel and his clarity of communication, let's go back to 2 weeks ago, Limits, when he told the world, and he couldn't have been clearer about this. This is when you want to get a message across as a coach. You want Mike McDaniel, because he had a meeting with the owner and he just said it flat out what happened. You couldn't mistake this. This was as clear as day.
He was really frustrated at the, he was as I was. And, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
The only thing I can think of, Joe, is imagine this guy trying to fire up the squad before a huge
right.
game. What is he saying in the locker room?
Bring just the beginning of that back in a moment. Now, picture the Dolphins. They're in a Super Bowl. It's the moment of their lives, right? Picture Herb Brooks. You know, you were born to be here. This is your time. And if you don't win, you'll take it to your blanking graves. This is your time. Now picture this man addressing a team, addressing a bunch of professional athletes before the biggest moment of their lives.
He was really frustrated at the, he was as I was, and we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for.
Let's go! Let's get out there! Let's go! That's the speech of a lifetime. All right. Hello, Quinn Ewers for Miami Limits. Is that where we're looking at?
Yeah, Tua got benched in the middle of that game. 31-6.
I'll tell you another thing. The Little Cleve Brownies. They lost to Cincinnati by a point. They had Minnesota beaten and lost that game. They could be having a very different season. And if the Steelers stumble again, and this team can upset New England, which I don't think will happen, but who knows? They'll be 3-5, and the Steelers will be 4-3. The Little Cleve Brownies are still hanging around, Limits.
Sounds good to me. That's a worse draft pick that Cleveland will get to try to fix their organization.
All right. Next game is the Patriots 31 and the Titans 13. I could say a lot of things, but I'll just say my thought from this game is that Drake May is the biggest new star in the NFL, and Cam Ward stinks. And I don't know if it's him, the coaching, the talent around him. That was god-awful, the portions of it that I saw. And the Patriots suddenly look like a player in the AFC.
Did you see the scoop and score that the Patriots had on the Cam Ward fumble right by the goal line?
Yeah, where the ghost hit him?
Yes. It was an absolute disaster.
Just an abomination.
A nightmare. And Bob and I both said before the draft, we didn't really think Cam Ward was that good. Man, I don't think either of us thought it would be this bad.
Chiefs 31, Raiders nothing. I was watching this with my wife at a bar in Bedford Springs for about 2 minutes in the first quarter, and I said to her, you can tell from like three plays that this is going to be a blowout, and we are headed for the blanking Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game again. Mahomes had all his weapons back. Rashee Rice was back. He went 26 of 35, 286, three touchdowns. The defense is good. This is a disaster for the entire football world that this team suddenly looks like they're going to go back to the Super Bowl. Let's be honest here, Limits. I don't know how many possessions you or I have. Neither one of us are very rich men, I don't think. But we have
nope.
things that we like.
Yeah.
We have bank accounts. If someone said to me and you, you have to bet everything you own right now, you have to, on one team to get out of the AFC, who are you betting on? Who would it be? For me, I wouldn't have to think. And I'm not making that a prediction necessarily, but in that scenario, I wouldn't have to think. And I would say Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs.
It would be a heartless decision, but I think I'm in agreement with you, and I would have to pick the Chiefs.
It's very depressing, and it's putting a damper on the entire season.
This game for me, though, was a lot about the Raiders. Pete Carroll comes out of retirement for this.
Oh, my God.
It shows you that coaching can definitely help elevate your team, but it can't save a tire fire, which is the Raiders.
Wait, we buried the lead here. Kenneth Pickett came into this game.
And he immediately fumbled.
His tiny hands couldn't hold on to the ball for one snap. He fumbled the first snap, and the Chiefs recovered.
The first snap.
He did
Poor
go,
Kenny.
He did go 2 for 2 for 8 yards and an 83.3 passer rating limits.
Oh, those short intermediate passes, just like we'd seen for 2 years.
How many plays did the Raiders run in this entire game?
Wasn't it like 32 or something?
Wrong. 30.
Yeah.
30 plays in an NFL game? The Eagles had a 20-play drive against the Steelers last year to end the game. Remember that?
Yeah, that, what, 10-minute drive?
Limits. There can't have been 10 teams in the last 20 years who have run 30 or fewer. Can you look up, can you Google that? Raiders record 30 plays, something like that, and tell me a number.
That's what happens when you go 3 and out almost every series.
There has to be a historic number attached to that. They ran for 25 yards. What a pathetic French. Oh, my God. They only had three first downs and 95 total yards. I didn't even realize that. I'm looking at the box score. How do you have an NFL team? He should be fired today. They should just stop the experiment. They should fold the franchise, actually. Mm. Does anybody else need a franchise? Where could they go?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Canada, maybe? The Hamilton Raiders?
Montreal?
They are Montreal. There you go. They are an absolute joke.
You ready for this? The team with the fewest plays, according to StatMuse, in a game in the NFL, 28 plays by the Cleve Brownies on September 12, 1999. Welcome back to the NFL against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Really?
How about that? The Raiders, the second fewest plays with 30.
That is just such a colossal embarrassment and a fireable offense for Pete Carroll. That's just not going to work. Good try. You know, the people thought, oh, they're bringing a stable organization. At least they'll have stability and a decent quarterback. No, they have none of that. Eagles 28, Vikings 22. That was a big game for the Eagles. You lose that, you're at 4-3. They go on the road, they win it, and they open up the offense. And Jalen Hurts proves again that when he wants to do that, when they let him do that, he goes 19 of 23 for 326 and three touchdowns. So everybody's happy in Philly again. And Carson Wentz did not have a good day. So I don't know how long the Vikings hang on here, but it's not like they're waiting for somebody. He may be better than J.J. McCarthy. That team's going down the tubes, and man, if I were a Viking fan like Greg Giannotti is, I would be livid that they let go of Sam Darnold. That's my take from this game, Limits.
I agree on the Darnold point. Did you see that Adam Schefter put something out there that McCarthy was expected to miss like 4 to 6 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks, something like that? That was what it was always intended to be.
Yeah.
There was a screenshot of what Rappaport or what Schefter originally said, that it was only supposed to be a 2 or 3 week injury. Now he says, oh, well, it was actually a longer injury. It sounds like to me the Vikings are just trying to cover up for J.J. McCarthy not being that good and saying that the injury is actually worse than it was initially anticipated to be.
Yeah, you were right about him. He stinks. Panthers 13, Jets 6. I mean, the obvious question here, and congrats to the Panthers on being 4-3. That might be actually the most surprising record in the whole
NFL.
Let's
go, Panthers! Bryce Young!
But they stink, and he's not any good either. But compared to the Jets, they're the 85 Bears. The Jets are 0-7. They're 0-5 at home. Justin Fields has been benched for Tyrod Taylor, who threw two picks. He was horrific in the game. They are so bad, it's indescribable. And that was one of the winnable games left. So let me ask you this, Limits, because this is the story to me. Are the Jets going to go 0-17? Their next game's at Cincinnati. You don't think they're going to win the Flacco Bowl, do you?
No, I don't.
Then they're home against Cleveland. You like their chances there with Tyrod Taylor?
No.
Me neither. At New England, at Baltimore, home against Atlanta, and here's the game they're going to win.
Yes.
Against the only team worse than them, although this team does have two more wins, is the Fighting Mike McDaniels. What does McDaniels think about that?
I agree, Joe.
Let's hear from McDaniel, maybe with some clarity on that game.
There's a lot of guys that will have an important work week because we're not. I mean, if you are negatively affecting the football team routinely, I don't have a choice but to, assess a different player. And,
this guy
I have
is
to coach,
the best.
Routine play.
Imagine if he was like a teacher in school, Limits. Everybody would know, people would come out of it illiterate. Like nobody would have learned one thing.
Did I ever tell you the story about how when we had a student teacher in my civics class, very nice man, I counted in class one day. I was talking to a couple of people in our class. How many times the guy said or ah, and it was over 150 times in a 40-minute span.
I've worked on that, and that's great that you counted it. I love that.
It was like, every 10 seconds, I just kept writing down tally marks that people were looking at me like, what is he writing over there?
I've tried to control that myself. I give an ah every once in a while just to fill space, but I hope I've gotten better there. Here's the game of the day, the year, and possibly the century. Broncos 33, Giants 32. Now, the game wasn't on. I was watching whatever that show is on NFL Network, Game Day, where it's not Red Zone, but they splice into different games. What happened? The Broncos had no points after three quarters, and they won the game 33-32. They were down 19 with 6 minutes left, and the number of teams in a row that have won a game or have Let me get the stat right here as I pull a Mike McDaniel of my own. Teams that led by 19 or more with 6 minutes or fewer left had won 1,600 games in a row.
1,600 games in a row?
Yes. They got outscored in the fourth quarter 33-13. It's one of the most incredible games in the history of the NFL. And I was watching at least as much as I could on that show, which kept splicing to other games, to which I said, why are you going to any other game when you have one of the greatest games in NFL history on? What are we doing here? Jackson Dart was actually great until he wasn't. He threw a horrendous pick. I guess I make of this, these were my two favorite quarterbacks, Dart and Bo Nix, who I picked for NFL MVP. And it reminded me of when the Bills trailed the Oilers, the Warren Moon Oilers, 35-3 early in the second half and won the game. I think it's the most incredible thing I've ever seen since then. I can't believe that this happened.
No, I can't
and
either.
It happened to the Giants.
That's why I can partially believe it, though, because it was the Giants. And maybe Dable is going to be canned at the end of the year, even though it looks like, Joe, you were right on Dart. I mean, he had a bad interception, like a really bad interception. But overall, I think he's played better than I expected him to.
He gives them a chance. My understanding is everybody around the New York area who's a Giants fan is going to be Jackson Dart for Halloween with the one eye black on. You know what I mean?
And that diamond necklace that he took from like his sister's bedroom or something.
You're going to have a bunch of little Jackson Darts knocking on your door for trick or treat. How about that? Maybe you should intercept them before they get there. What a bad throw that was. Colts 38, Chargers 24 limits. What was your thought? I'll let you go first here. Your thought on this game.
Thank you. I think that for me, it was mainly that the Chargers, after starting out so good, have just fallen apart.
Yeah.
And like in his second year coaching teams, Jim Harbaugh has always taken a significant, a just meteoric rise up. And that has not been the case with the Chargers. It looked good after the first three games. Next three has been bad. Also, the Colts offense. And I know that there's no home field advantage for the Chargers, but as they were wearing uniforms that looked like highlighters, it looked like you were just highlighting the Colts offensive stats. Tyler Warren, Daniel Jones returns. The quarterback renaissance this year has been incredible, Joe. For guys like Darnold, Baker, Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, guys that were all counted out going into this year have all played well.
Good point. And I was watching bits and pieces of this thinking, all right, these are two teams are directly ahead on the Steelers' schedule. How interesting is this? And the Colts really, well, I mean, they did beat Denver, but people were questioning their schedule to come into L.A. and just pound them was rather eye-opening. They've had the best season so far in the AFC. I don't know that they're the best team yet. I still need to see more. But wow, is that going to be an interesting game November 2nd at Acrisure? I mean, that's, who knows? That could be for the number one seed. All right. And Danny Dimes was very good, which I still, well, I won't say I can't believe it because I thought he was actually a viable guy for the Steelers, but I think they've done even better, believe it or not, with Aaron Rodgers. Next game, Cowboys 44, Commanders 22. George Pickens is the story. Yes, he is. And it never would have happened here because he would have been unbelievably unhappy and disruptive. But I have to acknowledge he's been great there. C.D. Lamb came back and led their team in receiving. But Pickens, I think is he second in the NFL in receiving yards? He's in the top five, I believe. Four catches for 82 yards. And Kyle Brandt said today, there's nobody who's more fun to watch on the catch in the whole league than Pickens. He made two great plays along the sidelines. So good for him. He's performing.
George Pickens has 607 yards receiving. Jamar Chase's big week is the only thing that ended up putting him ahead. So it's Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jamar Chase, Puka, Nacua, and then George Pickens. But I did not see this coming for him. Sure, he's going to make his money. Tied for first in touchdowns, 36 grabs. Good for George Pickens, but I'm with you on the overall take.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The last two we can kind of do together. Limits: Packers 27, Cardinals 23. 49ers 20, Falcons 10. Here's my thoughts in order. One, Christian McCaffrey's back. So for whatever other problems the Niners might have, like I'm not a big Mac Jones guy, if you have a superstar like that and a great coach, you got a chance. Michael Penix Jr. stinks. Only the Bills could make him look good. The Packers got a big win there, and I'm disappointed with the Cardinals, who I said they were going to win the AFC West, and now I look real dumb. They were, and here's their losses. I don't look that dumb, because listen to their losses. San Francisco, 16-15. Seattle, 23-20. Tennessee, 22-21. That was three straight games they lost at the buzzer on field goals, becoming the first team of the Super Bowl era to accomplish that ignominious feat. Are you kidding me? Three straight games at the buzzer? Then they lose to the Colts by four and the Packers by four. They're actually good, except they stink, if that makes any sense, Limits.
Well, in that Tennessee game, that's when...
What happened to the music? I wanted that to accompany my thoughts there.
I apologize.
That's okay.
That's when DeMercado fumbled the ball at the goal line when he was going in to score like a 75-yard rushing touchdown.
It was actually a good prediction, except it was a terrible one.
The Falcons are boring. Like, I like Michael Penix, but ultimately, that's not a team that has been able to take the next step and take that big jump in prime time. They did against the Bills. This was another prove-it moment for them, and they didn't do it. And I'm with you on the Packers. I think they're a team that has taken advantage of some poor teams that they've played. Yes, they've lost to Cleveland. I expect this to be a field goal game on Sunday. A very good game on Sunday Night Football.
Bryce Young is out. Couple quarterback injuries. Guess who's going to play for them?
Oh, sheesh.
Dr. Andrew Dalton is going to play for them. And then Jaden Daniels has, he got injured in that Cowboys game. And he could be out. They've been disappointing. Who's the backup there, oh, limitless wonder?
Marcus Mariota.
Wrong. Marcus Mariota. And he's going to be backed up by Josh Johnson. So they're in a world of hurt right now, the Commanders.
And Kyler Murray didn't play for the Cardinals this week.
No, he didn't.
Did you know who played for him?
Yes, Jacoby Brissett.
Wrong. Jacoby Brissett.
And he was better than Kyler Murray, I might add.
Didn't do bad.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Penguins back in action tomorrow. And I would wager to say that if I look at the standings, they're one of the surprising teams in the league. A limitless wonder. They're sitting here at 4-2. I haven't been like wildly impressed, but they're scrappy. They're interesting. And that's more than I thought I would be saying, even this early in the season. Matt Wenzel's done a couple of good stories over at the Post-Gazette on how they're more of a rush team than they were under Mike Sullivan. And one of the keys to that is holding on to the puck a little longer instead of mindlessly dumping it, and also having defensemen jump into the play. They have been interesting so far. What if they turned into Spencer Carberry's Capitals, Limits, huh?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Neither do I.
But
But they've been interesting so far. Yeah. You got to give Dan Muse credit so far, don't you?
No, I do. I give Dan Muse credit for the way that he's already been able to build and establish a culture. Now, I don't like what they're doing here with Kindle and with Brunick sitting them out for a game during this recent stretch where it was, oh, well, this is just ultimately a part of their development. Look, I get it that they're 18, 19 years old. Don't you want them to be able to go out there and have as much experience as possible? If you want to do that on a back-to-back, I get it. But these are games that are not that case, and it's spread out a little bit. But I do give Dan Muse a decent amount of credit for how he's been able to get the guys like Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Carlson to buy in to what he's selling right now.
Kind of like Pitt football, I didn't think I would be talking about them or very interested in them right now. But I am, on both counts. Now, we have a baseball series going to Game 7 tonight. Do you have a rooting interest? Do you have a watching interest here in George Kirby versus Shane Bieber, Seattle at Toronto, 8:10 p.m. limits? You going to be parked in front of the old TV?
I will be parked in your seat tonight doing the evening show, also watching the game, rooting for Sean Myers' Seattle Mariners.
Wow, and Vinny Ricicci's Seattle Mariners.
The Mariners have never been to the World Series, Joe. Can you name all the teams that have never been to the World Series?
No, I can't.
Wrong. It's only the Seattle Mariners.
Really?
They are the only team in Major League Baseball that has never gone to the World Series. Not won it, but gone to the World Series.
Well, I hope that streak continues because I like the Blue Jays. I used to take my daughter to Toronto when she was little, back when she talked to us. And it was fun, man. She would get in the back of the car where she always was in her car seat, and off we'd go to Toronto, which is, what, 5.5 hours away? Very manageable. Stop in Buffalo on the way. Head up to Toronto, and the atmosphere at the games is great. They have their own fight song. You know, it's like a soccer game where people are just going nuts. In fact, we saw the Pirates play there once in a 3-game series.
Nice.
And we became Blue Jays fans as well. So I have a soft spot for the Blue Jays. And I might add, my dad took me to the first Blue Jays game ever.
Wow.
Exhibition Stadium. I don't know. When did they come in the league limits? 1985? Could you look that up for a moment?
I think it was a little bit before that.
Somewhere in there. It might have been before that. You might be right. But in their first game, Doug Ault hit a homer. They played at Exhibition Stadium. And it was basically just a baseball fence parked in the middle of a Canadian Football League field. But man, that was exciting and fun to have. You know, they were, what, 2 hours away from our house to have a real baseball major league team that close to us.
1977.
There you go. So I have a soft spot for the Blue Jays. Plus, one of my daughter-in-laws is from Toronto. I'm rooting for the Blue Jays, and I'm rooting for them rather passionately, I might add.
I'd be happy for either team. I just want to see whoever comes out of the AL beat the Dodgers.
And they're not going to.
No.
And that's the other point here, is that the sight of the Dodgers makes me physically ill. Like, what have you really done? Like, they have such a cockiness about them. You just basically bought a World Series. That's it. The system in Major League Baseball is an absolute farce, and that doesn't excuse the Pirates one tiny infinitesimal bit. They have zero excuses for how chronically awful they are with that ridiculous payroll. None. And both things can be true. At the top end, it's an absolute farce and a joke of a league that a team could have, a $350 million payroll?
Yes.
And the sight of them, as if they're really accomplishing something, all they're doing is playing up to their paychecks. It's a team that was bought. It's a World Series that will be bought, and I can't stand watching them. And if I think that the winner of this has a chance to upset them like Tampa did, whatever that was, six years ago, I'll hate watch the Dodgers hoping for them to lose. But if they get up 2-0 in the series or whatever, I'll never watch it again like I didn't watch the NLCS, because it's so blatantly unfair and, you know, unlevel, if that's the word. It's just everybody's on a different field and they're playing a different sport from everybody else. It's stupid.
Now, I'll throw this back at you, though. The best thing for baseball as a whole might be the Dodgers winning the World Series, because that will put even more pressure on the thought of a salary cap and a salary floor.
Maybe.
If the Dodgers go back-to-back?
Maybe.
Year after the Yankees were there? All the money that's been spent? It seems like that's two World Series bought and paid for.
Yeah.
That should be more of a feather in the owner's cap. Other owners to say, hey, look how the sport has turned. It is even more money-centric, and who wants to buy their way to a championship than ever?
It's possible.
This is why it needs to happen.
Well, that it's a tough thing for me to root for with that rationale, yeah. Like to be sitting there saying, yeah, go Dodgers so they can fix baseball. Right. No, I just hate them.
Because we just don't know if the owners are going to actually do it.
Yeah, and we also don't know how much resolve the players have. If the owners are going to do it, it's going to take a canceled season,
right.
Which I don't know. Do players' contracts tick 1 year
yes.
then? So we lose another year of Paul Skeens?
We would.
That would make three?
We would. Would that be worth it in your mind? For me, it would. For the future of the sport, for however long baseball continues, it would be it would suck to not have another year of Paul Skeens. It would. But for the overall complexity of the sport, to be able to survive, to be able to keep your stars, I think it would be necessary.
You mean integrity of the sport, not complexity?
Yeah. Why did I say complexity?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it would. It certainly was in baseball. I think it would probably be worth it to get that. But then you have the question of Bob Nutting. You know, every salary cap's going to come with a floor, and it's going to be over $100 million. So could this be the ultimate case of irony where he finally gets what he apparently and the smaller markets want, which is a salary cap, and in so doing, prices himself out of this ownership situation, like wouldn't want to meet the demand of a salary floor.
I think about it this way. Sid might not be the best example just because of the person that he is, but would the Penguins have been able to keep Sid, Gino,
Letang,
and Fleury without a salary cap?
No, and that's when we get to the Travis Williams quotes. The Pirates president, I guess he is, CEO, whatever you want to call him, where he said, and I'm paraphrasing, oh, I was with the Penguins. I know what it takes to win. No, you don't. Or maybe you do, and you're just being disingenuous in this situation. What it took for the Penguins was two generational superstars surrounded by a bunch of other stars and a salary cap, which was won by making the league dark for an entire season that they didn't play, which enabled you to keep those players. That's all. And that has nothing to do with the Pirates winning under the current system. Anyway, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Mostly sunny today with a high of Jack Ham 59, a low of Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy, a low of 48. Do you have Bob saying that? He says it so much better. And Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Tyler Kennedy.
It's a Mike Tomlin news conference tomorrow, limits, and I'll see you then.
See you tomorrow, Joe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.